Hey friends, this is Tiara, and I am coming to you from my dining room, which has sort of become my office during this season of quarantine here in East Town. And I ended up having an interesting conversation last night with some friends from South Harbor Church and our virtual community that prompted some questions for me that I kind of want to externally process with you for a few minutes. So the leader of the virtual community, which is not me, by the way, asked a really interesting question to all of us of what are we most looking forward to when life returns to normal or to kind of like pseudo normalcy. And a number of people began to answer the question, and there was this clear theme of traveling that many of us had canceled trips and were waiting to reschedule them, like the people in the group. I was planning a trip to Banff for hiking, and obviously I couldn't reschedule the trip yet. I had to cancel the trip because the border to Canada is not yet open, so that trip has not been rescheduled yet, but I do really look forward to doing that. But the first thing that actually popped into my head, like beyond my travel plans, of things I'm most looking forward to, there's a list, and one of the things on that list is gathering with you for worship. The highlight of my Sunday is when I get to sing with you. It's just to hear your voices as we sing together, as we worship together. It's a really special moment. I don't know if you've noticed this, but we don't really sing very often in our culture outside of church. And so what we do when we sing together is not only this thing that we're doing, you know, that flows out of what we see and read in the New Testament of what the church did as part of their formation together, but also something that's kind of countercultural, and I think that makes it kind of neat. And so I do miss singing with all of you on Sunday mornings. And that conversation kind of prompted me to think about what exactly is it that we do on Sunday morning. What exactly is the church? Over the last several weeks, we have been gathering within our homes as individuals, as couples, as families, around our devices, our smartphones or our iPads or our computers or our television screens to do this thing that we're calling church at home. What exactly is church? What exactly is church? And if you were to ask a number of people, if your Facebook newsfeed is anything like mine, you throw a question out there, you get a million and one different answers because everyone has an opinion about everything. But if you were to ask this question of what is church, how would people respond, and how do you respond to that question? This is a debate that I've kind of followed for a few years now. Having grown up in the church as a preacher's kid, kind of wondering like what exactly is church, and usually the answer kind of boils down to a couple different camps. One of them is this idea that like the church is what we do on Sunday morning. The church is the building. The church is this sacred space. The church is this big, beautiful cathedral. The church is the temple, so to speak. And then you have this other camp, and that camp says, no, the church is not the building. The church is not what we do on Sunday morning. The church is the real flesh and blood people who have come to put their faith in Christ, within whom the Spirit of Christ has come to dwell. And so you kind of get this juxtaposition of like, here's this space, you know, and within this space, we do things like sing together, and we come to the scriptures together, and then we partake of the sacraments together, the Lord's Supper and baptism. And then you've got this other camp that says, no, what really is the church is the things that we do. That real flesh and blood people within whom the Spirit of Christ has come to dwell do from day to day and from week to week to help people find their way back to God, to pursue the common good of the cities in which they live. That is the church. The people who show the love of Christ to the people outside of the church, that's the church. And so for me, I especially right now as like everything that we've thought of as church and everything that we've participated in as church has been kind of upended. I think it provides a really unique opportunity for us to kind of reimagine what it is that we believe church is so that we can participate in it or engage it better so that we can be intentional about the way that we show up in the world around us. And to do that, I want to go back to the place where it all began. Acts 2 has something really interesting to say, I think, about what it means to be the church, particularly down in verse 42, where it says this: "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number, day by day, those who were being saved." So which is it? What is the church? Is the church when they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching? Is the church their fellowship? Is the church the breaking of bread and the prayers? Is the church the awe that came upon every soul? Is the church the many wonders and signs that were being done through the apostles? Is the church all who believed were being together and having all things in common? Is the church the selling of their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need? Is the church attending the temple together? Is the church breaking bread in their homes? Is the church receiving their food with glad and generous hearts? Is the church praising God? Is the church having favor with all the people? Is the church any one of these things, or is it all of them? I would argue that it's only in recent years that we've been forced to choose between these seemingly competing ideas of the church, that the church is what we do on Sunday, the church is the building, or that the church is the scattered body of believers. The church is what we do from day to day and from week to week to help people find their way back to God. And that is actually in scripture that we see that it's all of those things. And not only is it all of those things, but it seems that God actually blesses the union between those two things, that it's both temple and home, that it's both gathered and scattered, and that when you bring those two things together, when they interact in these really beautiful ways, that God blesses the union between these two things and something amazing happens. It impacts the world around them, and God blesses the union and brings new life from it. We see this in verse 47 when the text says that God added to their number day by day those who were being saved. How is that able to happen? And I would argue that it's because they're living into the fullness, the robust vision of what the church is and what the church was always meant to be, what the people of God were always meant to be, is finally coming together, and the entire world around them is being blessed by it. And it's unbelievably attractive and it's unbelievably compelling to the people around them. And so it's not which is it. I think the bigger question is more so how do we live into that ourselves? And particularly, what is the nature of this dynamic union that takes place between these different facets of the church, if you will? So I tend to take my cues from this from Abraham Kuyper, who I believe takes his cues from this passage and a few other New Testament texts about the church, as he tries to think through what does it mean to be the church. And within Kuyper's day, Kuyper was around, 1837 and 1920. And actually, for those of you who don't know who Abraham Kuyper is, Kuyper was a was a pastor, a politician, and a theologian in the Netherlands. He was also an educator. I think at one point he was like principal of a school that he started, or president of a college that he started. And so he did a lot of things, and he has a really interesting theology that is very, very focused on the city or the civilization, and the connection of the church to that. And for that reason, I find his theology really interesting, because it's not a theology that sits within the four walls of the church, but it's a theology that flows out of the church and into the city, and into the rest of the world. And so Abraham Kuyper has this way of thinking about the church as he calls it, a church that is both rooted and grounded, or he uses this language of the church as both an institution and also an organism. And what Kuyper says is that the institution that is of the church, the structure of the church, the hard stuff of the church, is really designed to give form to the life of the church. He comes back to kind of the early church. And he says that the apostles take this like young this young body, or this young plant, if you will, that is the church, this very new thing. It's almost like a small child, and they begin to arrange it. They begin to add form to it. They try to almost give shape to this thing, and they do so. They do so to protect it. They do so to protect it. They do so to preserve it. They do so to feed it, to expand it, and to make sure that it can become as effective as it possibly can. I don't garden, and I also recognize that most people who do garden, most people who do any kind of like landscaping type work, you don't just let your like the plant life or the flowers or whatever just kind of grow without any structure or order to it. My mom, when I would watch her do this, she actually tended to it. She kind of set some order to the garden. She put certain things in certain places so that things would interact well. She gave shape to it, and she gave form to it. It wasn't this unkempt thing. And Kuyper says the church is the same way, that the church is like a body, and a body has to be guided. A body has to be structured. Or it dies. He says it's like justice. It's like this notion of justice in our society. It's this thing that just kind of naturally grows within us and amongst us. And at the same time, it still has to be classified. It still has to be described. It still has to be maintained. People still have to pursue it in an orderly way to bring it about and to make sure that this notion of justice takes root and flourishes within a particular society. But then Kuyper says this. He says that the church is also an organism, that the church has this unique life to it. You know, as we kind of come out of this old life into this new life of being people who follow after Christ, that the church kind of builds this life together, and the church is itself a life. It's an organism. And then Kuyper says that organism is the heart of the church. From that heart, its lifeblood flows, he says, and where the pulse of its life ceases, the institution alone, the structure alone, never, never constitutes the church. Kuyper says, it is not enough to have a structure or an institution. It is specifically the people, it is specifically the flesh and blood people within whom the Spirit of Christ himself dwells that form the heart of the church. And that when you remove the heart of the church, just like a body, you remove the heart from the body no longer lives. It is the body, it is the organism that makes up the core of the church, and it's the institution that feeds the body, that equips the body to be the church in the world. And so what I love about Kuyper's way of thinking about the church is not only that it speaks to Acts 2 and kind of what we see in the fellowship of the believers, this very open, permeable, beautiful, compelling fellowship of believers in Acts 2. So I love that about the way that Kuyper is thinking about the church. But I also think as I Like, as I read those words, as I think about those words, I think what Kuiper does is reminds us that the church is more than what we do on Sunday morning. It certainly includes that. And that is certainly a beautiful aspect of who we are. But the church is not just that. And in fact, it's in moments where we've forgotten that the church is not just that, that the church has died. The church can't live unless the scattered church does what it's supposed to do, because it's actually in the dynamic interaction of the gathered church and the scattered church that God blesses the union and brings forth more life, adds to their number day by day. Those who are being saved, the building collapses, Kuiper says, when the heart of the church doesn't function. And so what does it mean for the heart of the church to function? I think the mission of our church, particularly here at Harbor Churches or South Harbor Church, to help people find their way back to God, that is the core of what we're called to. And we get to do that not only on Sunday, but I think we do that most dynamically. I think we do that particularly well after Sunday or between the Sundays. I think we do that particularly well as the scattered church, that all of us are in these really interesting places in our families, in our homes, in our neighborhoods, in our workplaces, in the organizations that we participate in throughout the city, that all of us have this really unique opportunity to show people, to demonstrate to people, and to tell people of the love of Christ. And in doing that, we perform, I'd say, the central work of the church. In fact, as Jesus is about to depart from his disciples, what he says to them is, go therefore into the world, baptizing people and teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you. That is the central work of the church. And it's not something that takes place exclusively when we gather together. I would argue that it takes place more when we're scattered. More when we're scattered than it does when we're gathered together, and that it's really important for us to remember just how beautiful a gift that it is that we get to be the church in these really interesting and dynamic ways. So as we've been kind of wrestling with, like, what does it mean to be the church, and also lamenting, I think legitimately lamenting not being able to gather together, it's lamentable. It's sad. It's hard when the church can't gather together. I hope you hear that in what I'm saying. I hope you hear how much I miss our gatherings and how much I look forward to gathering again in person and singing with you and drinking coffee with you and laughing with you and going to the scriptures with you on a Sunday morning. And I think in that lament, in that sadness, in that grief of what we've lost as a gathered people, I hope we don't overlook maybe the space that we've gained as the scattered people. Because I think that space as the scattered people, that space in which we help people find their way back to God in the homes we're in, in the neighborhoods we're in, in the workplaces we're in, and in the other organizations and places that we find ourselves in between Sundays, I hope that what we're able to do in this season is receive the gift of being almost forced to live more into that space. Sometimes the church tips and most of our time and our energy and our priorities, like, tip toward being the gathered people of Christ. And this is a season in which we're actually being forced to tip in the other direction and be the scattered people, to be the scattered church, to be the people who are looking out for one another and looking out for our neighbors, the people who are bearing one another's burdens, the people who are listening to people and serving people, the people who are finding creative ways to welcome people into community, particularly those who are lonely and isolated. Something really amazing happens when the church lives into the fullness of who it is, as not only the gathered church, but also the scattered church. So what I would hope for in this season is that we would live into that fullness, particularly as the scattered church, because I think if Acts 2 is any indication, if it's any indication of life in the early church, and I believe it is historical and accurate, it shows us that when the gathered and the scattered church functions together and functions dynamically and symbiotically, when these two pieces inflect each other even and feed each other and nourish each other, that what emerges among us is something that is beautiful and rich and compelling and winsome and highly invitational. And when that happens, it leads to transformation, not just for us, but for the people around us. That's the kind of church that they needed, not only in the first century, but that's the kind of church that our world needs even now. That feels like a good place to start, particularly because my neighbors are now doing yard work. Life in the city. We're close enough that you can hear them doing yard work. So grace and peace, friends, and I hope you enjoy the sunshine today.